You get the picture? You laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. The fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
Podcast. This is
Andrew. This is Damon.
And this is Douglas.
We did it. We kicked 2013 in the face.
Wait, this is the second podcast. Oh man. Yes, we're done with 2013, but what we're going to talk about in the first episode of the 2014 Tump discussions is a movie from 2013.
Thank you, Damian.
You're welcome, Douglas.
Damian asked us to sit down and talk about the latest film starring one James Gandolfini and that chick from Seinfeld. It's called
Julia Louise Dreyfus. Don't be a dirtbag.
It's called Enough Said.
So you're a masseuse?
I am.
What is it that you do?
I'm a poet.
And I'm a dreamer.
No, really. I...
Oh, you really a poet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is Albert.
Hey. Hi. How's it going?
You know, my friend Eva was just telling me that there is not one guy at this party that she's attracted
what?
To.
What?
It's okay. There's no one here I'm attracted to either.
All right. Great.
Some guy you met at the party wants your number.
Damon, you picked this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about this movie.
Right. I'll read the plot synopsis.
Oh.
From Fox Searchlight Pictures.
Stop it.
Genre.
Stop.
Comedy,
stop.
Drama, romance. Alright. So, Enough Said is a small comedy / romance movie, according to the genres, where I think her name's Anna. She falls in love with a guy, James Gandolfini. I don't know what his name is
Albert.
In the show. Albert, right.
Right, Fat Albert.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And
her name
they're
is Ava.
Right, Ava.
Sorry.
and they come together and they meet and they hit it off really well. But Ava has a problem, which is a problem that only exists in movies. She likes this guy, but her job is a masseuse and she's giving massages to his ex-wife. This would never happen in real life. It's coincidence. It doesn't work like that. It's impossible. But for the sake of the movie, that had it happen. And you watch as she takes information from the ex-wife and uses it to slowly poison the relationship that he's having. All the while, both Ava and Albert have these daughters that are going off to college.
No,
in the
one,
coming month.
To be fair, one has a daughter and one has a rip-roaring bitch.
You don't say that about other people's children.
You only say that about your own kids. And so they're in a similar point in their lives. They've both been divorced. They both have this child that they have to send out in the world, and they're very reluctant about it. They don't want it to happen. And you watch as the relationship slowly disintegrates, and then of course the thing that was bound to happen, because it's a movie and it had to happen, both sides find out that she is both in love with her ex-husband, and the ex-husband finds out that she's being a friend and a masseuse to the wife, and it causes drama. And I really enjoy this movie.
Is it baby mama drama?
Sadly it is not. That is the best movie of all time, so I understand why you think that. But it is not that. stop.
I'm trying to think
stop.
What movie that is.
It is not a movie.
A movie.
What is wrong with you?
I think there is a movie called Baby Mama.
Yeah.
But...
No, I mean, I thought it was just a thing from a movie that you were guys were being specific about.
Actually, if you want it from a thing, the reason why that came up... Well, it's just a general thing.
No, yeah.
But there is actually a song.
Yes.
Where... I think the chorus is Baby Mama Drama. and seeing as... When I was younger, that used to be my stomping ground, that genre of music. I'm still a moron, and of course I like that song.
Of course.
And of course, when Damien said drama, that was the first thing that popped into my head. But sorry, Damien, we're railroading your
story.
We're
both bad people.
You're a bad teenager.
He is every teenager. All of them listen to terrible raps. The rap music. I love this movie. I said that before. The reason I love this movie is because it is one of the few romance movies that have people that feel real. Real not just in terms of, you know, they are believable, but real in the sense that I have had these conversations. I've been in these situations. I've seen things like this play out all the time. And it felt honest. It didn't feel like writers sat in a room writing shit, and then that is what I'm presenting on screen. And the perfect example of all of this, of course, is the Before series. Although I'm not married yet, and I've never not seen a woman for 20 years, so the second two movies have no real ties to. But they all feel the same. They feel genuine. They feel like people who understand how relationships work and what is supposed to be said wrote these movies, and then actors who are able to bring that out on the screen play those roles. And if someone had said the girl from Seinfeld and the boss of Sopranos were going to come into a movie and they'd be fun and lighthearted, and you know, you kind of root for both of them, you have gone, you're high as shit. They're two completely different actors. And watching them play off each other, watching the chemistry that they have on the screen, it's just fantastic. And there's a lot of little things that they do in the movie that are specific, would only be specific to this movie. So there's inside jokes based on Mary Louise Dreyfus's acting career.
Julia
Louis Dreyfus. They have jokes about the... what's the Cleveland show that she was in.
Yeah. Oh, she's in that? I didn't know
and
that.
And some other shows that Cleveland. They point to.
She's in the Cleveland show. I can't remember her name. We want to watch a Cleveland show, and she's like, "No, please!" And she's like, "Yes, that's what happened there." And isn't the Cleveland show the spin-off from Family Guy?
I'm forgetting the name. It's not the Cleveland show that they said it was. Never mind.
Because I'm honest. Because you came over when I was in the middle of rewatching the movie, and like you talked about this. But honestly, I didn't catch any of those references that they were making.
Well, the show that she used to be in was
Seinfeld.
There was the Adventures of Young Old Christine, or something.
And of course, she's in Veep now, right?
Yeah. Even though I really want to watch the show. But
I've seen a couple episodes.
I've only watched... I literally watched 2 minutes of the first episode, paused it to do something else, and have never turned it back on again. And that just makes me
and
sad.
And your DVR is just filling up because you keep forgetting to delete them.
It's ridiculous.
So good thing we can make bigger hard drives.
I know, right? right. So there's a lot of little things that I like. And, you know, I just found it fun and, you know, kind of... And Douglas doesn't like when movies... do this. Right? Kind of heartwarming.
Oh no!
Right? I will say that because it is a movie, it ends in a way that none of my relationships have ended.
Yeah.
They have all collapsed in the same way. So the start and the middle of my relationships.
Technically, you don't know exactly
like
what happens at the end.
I know.
No, but that's like how I knew what happened at the end of all of the Before movies. Because I just decided I wanted it to go a certain way.
He,
you can decide both of them.
He spoke to her again. That's the thing that is never going to happen in any of my relationships.
But, Damien, you see, the funny thing is, I'm glad that you brought up the Before series. Because the way that I see this movie is that these guys said to themselves, we're going to do the Before series again. We're going to try and be the Before series. Except, we're not going to do all of that, like, indie stuff. We're not going to just have them talking. We're not going to rely on people's performances. We're going to, you know, create the normal sort of story and backdrop and context that all movies, but all non, you know, movies I like,
yeah.
require. And I think to some extent they succeeded, because I have to say, I have a weird history with this, because from day one, so this was a movie that played at TIFF, and so I could have watched it in September, and I saw the trailer and immediately just pegged it as a movie I will hate, right? And for the longest time, I had it as that in my mind. And then slowly but surely, I kept hearing good things about it, right? People loved it. I was actually listening to FilmSpotting the other day. I think it's on one of those guys' top 10. And Andrew watched it, not for this podcast, but fairly recently, and said, I think he said he liked it. I can't remember. But no, now that I think about it, I saw him put something on Letterboxd, and now I'm not sure if he liked it. But, you know, I kept hearing good things about this movie. And so I said, you know what? Maybe it's something I should give a chance to, but in that sort of half-hearted way that you know you never will.
Mm-hmm.
And then thank you, you horrible person.
Yes.
You made me actually have to try and watch
this
movie.
I'm curious.
Uh-huh.
You're coming off positive right now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a story of you watching a trilogy of films with Michelle, with the intern, and not being too positive.
Yeah.
Being mainly due to the experience.
Yeah.
And you've just now watched this movie in
yes.
which you invoked a trilogy of films called
yes.
Before.
Yes.
With the intern.
Yes.
But you're coming out positive. Like, what?
Well, first of all,
changed?
you haven't heard the end of my story. Second of all, the intern loves this movie, so
okay. So you are all right. You weren't having someone throw daggers at the television.
Exactly. And at me, because she does that.
This is your fault, you son of a bitch.
Exactly. Anyway, so I started watching this movie, and I think it just goes to show, I don't want to say it's a bad movie, right? But it's a weird push and pull. Because every time it's just Gandolfini and Louis Dreyfus, I'm in. You know, the way they interact is great. The jokes are funny. She gets to see his penis. You know, it's perfect. Right? It
looks healthy.
Yeah, and it looks healthy.
It does.
Exactly. See, the jokes are great. Right? It's just, you know, and
I'm tired of being funny.
And it doesn't exactly feel ingenuine, ungenuine, not real, whatever that word would be. It doesn't feel, it's not as
disingenuine.
Insincere.
Thank you.
Sure, it's not disingenuous.
Shut up. It's not exactly Before Midnight and Before Sunset and Before Sunrise, but nothing can be that,
right?
It's
yes,
those are a pedestal that even if anybody came anywhere near it, I wouldn't accept it because it's in our pantheon.
Yeah.
And thank you, the shock would kill me. But it doesn't quite. I feel like they endeavored not to be that though, right? They said, I like what they do. Let's now make this for normal people who watch normal movies and spend money, kind of thing. You know, like, we know Before Midnight is for the $100,000 kind of gross.
Yes.
This, I think, they were like, okay, we want to make money on this movie kind of deal. And I think they kind of... dumbed it down is not the best phrase for this. But I think they kind of pulled back. They didn't say, okay, let's go to Celine and Jesse levels of conversation, and it still worked. It was fine, and as I said, whenever it was just them, I was cool. But everything else, and while there's nothing that I can point a finger to and say this was horrible, this is not good, because you know what they were trying to do, they achieved, right? But just, I think they feel that they needed the outside world, right? They needed the daughters. The daughters actually were fine, but I think they needed, like, you know, the friends to show you know, the outside perspective of both of these people. They needed
the ex-wife.
They needed all sorts of things, or they thought they needed all sorts of things, so that we could connect to these two people as a couple rather than just them. And that kind of disappointed me. And I'm not saying this is a bad movie, because at the end of the day, it really isn't. It's a pretty decent movie. I think for me, I would probably give this like a 2, right? Out of our 4-star scale. It was alright. It was alright. Mm-hmm. Give me the DC, the Damien cut, mm-hmm. with just Gandolfini, and it's like a 4, well, a 3. A strong 3. Yeah.
Understand.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I saw this for the first time like about a week ago. Like a little bit more than a week ago. When I saw it, I have to be honest, I wasn't 1,000% on board. Right? I had... yes, David. I see you. I had some issues. And I think it's mainly because I feel like I wasn't in the right mind frame to take in this movie. And I guess I have to give a bit of a story around about with this film. Because when I was watching this movie for the first time, I felt... 2 things. Number one, I was spending too much time comparing it to the Before movies. Mm-hmm. And not because the Before movies are in any way similar in their tone or in the story they're trying to tell, but in the way that they deal with the idea of romance. Right? In this way in which we can just be like, it's another part of life, and we're just going to keep talking about it and having these experiences. And at the end of the day, we're still people that exist in this world, right? And I think it's because now that I feel, if this movie came out in the 90s beside Before Sunrise, I wouldn't have had this comparison. Mm-hmm. Because Before Sunrise is a completely different movie, right? But since we've grown with the before movies, and I guess not as much as other people who were our age when Sunrise came out,
even knew about it, because I think all of us came on like essentially as Sunset came around. Probably,
I didn't know about it till you made us watch it for the podcast.
Yeah.
And we've seen the progression of the Before films. We've seen them go from 20s to 30s meeting up again to 40s. They're married and they're having this fight, this big fight and moment, to which I kind of associate those movies with some sense of mature romance, right? Where any idealized version of love or romance that any 20-year-old would have in their mind, pre some big moment relationship-wise in their life, they would see all of those versions as some mature version of romance. And this movie is kind of giving you a slightly different version of a mature romance, where they are basically doing Before Sunrise, but they're refusing to allow themselves to devolve into teenagers, right? They are the guy's penis slips out, and all they're going to do is laugh at it, right? They're just going to make the joke and move on, because they're like, oh, people have penises, right? We can't make a big deal out of this. Like, even towards the end of the movie, when that big confrontation ends up happening, where Albert discovers, and his ex-wife discovers, oh, you've been gaming the two of us this whole time, where you don't have that big bursting moment of people making the world of it. You're just like, right, so that means I'm going left and you're going right, and we're done. Right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you see those emotions there on the screen between them, where you feel that they could devolve into teenagers at that point. And it's that maturity that refuses to let them. And it goes a step further when you get to that point where, Damon, you said you've never had, because they don't come back. But But I got into a big fight between two individuals on Twitter after I was thinking about this movie first and started too quickly to compare it to before movies. And it was between one Mr. Alexander Hulls of Film School Rejects and the infamous Corey Attack.
Yep. How did I know this guy's name was coming up? I knew it. Does he like this movie?
He loves this movie.
That's why I don't like this movie that much. I understand now.
You
okay.
Knew it. You felt it in your bones.
I think we need to have like a tad indicator. Because we just need to, before you guys tell me to watch any movie, you just need to tell me, did a tad like it?
On
or
a side note,
and
you'll know. He loathes Before Midnight.
In a shocking turn on the
and we got into this big discussion, which was part of the movie I feel I wasn't paying attention to the first time I was watching it. And more than that, the comedy. Like, I was watching this movie, like, I feel I watch a lot of normal comedies, where I expect the jokes to be embedded in the plot, as opposed to be just littered throughout. These tiny moments where they're like, we're just going to make you chuckle. Or if you're that kind of person, you will laugh hysterically at this really tiny joke. And we'd probably have made five more before you heard anything again. But they're still tiny, right? And it wasn't until like I was sitting down and you were sitting beside me and you were just pointing to like all these tiny moments. And I'm like, yeah, those are hysterical. But they don't have those moments where the plot itself brings up contrivances which in themselves are funny, right? Like the trailer itself was selling this idea of, oh, she has found the ex-wife and is telling her all the bad shit and it ruins things. And you imagine how a normal comedy would play with that.
Yeah.
And because I didn't see that the first time, it felt wrong to me. I didn't want to like the movie because it just, as I said, I was watching the movie wrong. And I'm happy that I watched as much as I even did tonight, revisiting the movie, even sitting beside you, because I guess I agree, talking about all these ideas that are in there, because this movie is damn good for all of those things. So this movie is a strong fucking 3, and I'm sure the next time I watch it properly, it'll upgrade itself to a strong fucking 4. But it's interesting to think about these all different versions that we've seen in movies of what is called the mature romance. I mean, where's Amour in there? Is that like over in the ultra level? I had to bring up Amour.
I understand.
Oh,
good movie.
So thank you, Alexander Hulls. Thank you, Corey Attad. And thank you, Damien.
You're welcome. Started off the new year right. Can't wait for you two assholes to fuck this up. Especially Douglas, who is not paying attention.
No, not at all.
I have the next
because,
week. So
because
I'm gonna,
you guys are talking about a movie
that you barely can stand.
Well, no, no. The
piercing your eyes.
No, no, the movie's alright. I don't
screaming
mind
expletives at the TV while you watch.
I don't mind the movie. But,
understand. You'll watch it far, far away from the intern and you like it more. I can guarantee it. I like this movie a lot. I didn't expect this much out of it. I'm just glad to see that you two jokers actually like it. But I expected as much. I expected him to like it more when you watch it with said intern.
Who was throwing daggers the whole time.
Only bad things can happen when that takes place. The next time she sees me, she's probably going to punch me in the face. So.
No, she doesn't listen to us anymore, so she don't own
terrific
anything. And, well, and by the way, she has always been Team Damien.
Oh, fair enough.
So,
I knew I liked her.
Yeah.
I knew it.
I'm cutting that part out.
Of course you are.
I'll put to Team Damien and then cut out all that.
Can we have shirts? Can we do shirts for this season? I'm with Team Damien.
Moving into questions this week.
Why are we still doing it?
What? You're the sucker. I actually didn't really put out much of a question to the internet last time we talked, because we were doing the top 10 and such, but I wanted to throw out a new one for the future week. And like, we have this problem every year. We go through the year, we make our top 10, we've gone through December, we've seen all the fantastic movies, or we have some whittling over that we're still waiting to watch. But January rolls around, and there is nothing.
Darkness
is what that the world is generally interested in watching.
And what? Jack Ryan? Whatever. Stormtrooper? Shadow Trooper? Necromancer? Like, what? You can't watch that.
And I'm curious, like, when was the what was the last movie that was a January release that you downright loved?
My pick is a cheat. I'm
guessing Shutter Island, or was that February? I can't remember.
I remember.
You see, I literally cannot answer this question because I don't pay attention to when movies come out.
Cheat, it was a February release. I remember it being pushed from end of year to beginning. But yeah, because I mean, like, generally what I end up doing is I end up looking at the internet at a release schedule in the States and going, I just want to watch all those movies which are coming out in two theaters. Mm-hmm. Right? None of those big movies look very good. And I guess more importantly, what do you do in January, movie-wise?
I watch December movies that Caribbean said not to bring out. That's what I do in January. Right, what do you do in January, Andrew?
They put Zero Dark 30 to January. I remember that.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm. So that is the movie. But that doesn't come because it should have come out in Christmas.
Yeah.
In January, we weep silent because the mistake what we always make is we try and watch all of the Oscar bait movies, let's call them that, quickly, because we need to ratify our list.
Yeah.
So then there's always like the one or two movies that are left, and we watch those as soon as they come out, and then for the rest of January we stare at each other, and then February rolls around and we rinse and repeat from January.
Actually, you know what, I have an answer for this, but again, like you, I cheat. But I'm cheating way more blatantly than you are. So, my favorite January release, I watched a movie two nights ago. I love that movie to death. It was released in January.
In Jamaica.
And it was directed by David O. Russell, and it is called American Hustle. And that movie is superb.
In 2012, Haywire came out in January. That counts. I love Haywire.
Going to watch it tomorrow night.
Oh, really?
After work, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I forgot that you've already broken your rule, and so, you know, the floodgates have opened.
Might as well.
Yeah, all right.
Plus, The Hobbit wasn't terrible. It looked, the 3D looked good.
Yeah. Actually, I must say, the movie didn't look terrible. I wasn't sure, because, of course, I've never seen a movie before, but I noticed that all the trailers, the top and the bottom are cut off. So I just imagined that the top and the bottom are cut off in the movie as well. But as for actual picture quality, it was fine.
Yeah, it was projected fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't fuzzy or anything. And I guess it also helps that Peter Jackson knows what he's doing with the 3D.
And there you go, yeah.
That helps a lot.
It also helps that the movie's...
And it also helps that I saw it with
80% too long.
It also helps that I saw it with a couple of people that enjoy Arms House as much as me. So we just sat there laughing at nonsense that happened throughout that movie. It's pretty good.
The gold!
Soul Dragons.
So dumb. So bad.
Psh. Psh.
No,
I don't want to
so
hear
dumb.
It.
It wasn't
stop,
so dumb.
Stop, you two go away.
There were two great movies in that movie.
Anyways.
They're all bad.
So people. Yes, I'm curious to hear, like, when was the last time you loved a movie in January? What was that movie that was released in January that you loved?
Throttling, hurtling, just going, and hurting, knowing that it's gone, it's growing, and not knowing where, in the ground or in the air, up a golden stair.
Might get hurt. Mind your own business.
Gently, son.
Brad, I know you don't love me now.
It's a dangerous thing to confuse children with angels.
You want to know the common element for the entire group, like he asked? I'll tell you the answer. I'll tell you, because I had that one. I had that question. Carbon. carbon in pencil lead is in the form of graphite. In coal, it's mixed up with other impurities. And in the diamond, it's in hard form. Well, all we really wanted to know was the common element, Donnie, but thank you for all that unnecessary knowledge. Kids, heads so full of useless knowledge. Thank you. Thank you. And the book says we may be through with the past, but the past is not through with us. And no, it is not dangerous to confuse children with angels.
So moving on to our top five this week. Damien has asked us, in tribute of Enough Said, to list our top five TV actors.
Yep.
Damien, I'm lost. I don't know what I'm picking.
All right. So you know how there's people who act in movies? Right. There's also people who act on TV. Let's pick five of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that is confusing.
You see, I was explaining this to Damien earlier. Like, my problem is when I say that, I was trying to think of people who were primarily TV actors.
That's not what I asked you, did I?
Yeah. I would say to myself, McNulty was in The Wire.
Yeah.
But he mainly does movies, so I wouldn't think of him as a TV actor, even though he was in a TV show.
Okay.
So he doesn't qualify. And everyone I thought of afterwards...
I'll just let you know, all of my TV actors are like that.
Congratulations. You've understood exactly what this is.
So Damien, you can start it off.
Alright. My number five is from The Way, Way Back Machine.
Mm-hmm.
It is Mr. Red Fox.
Awesome. I like Red Fox.
Red Fox from Sanford and Suds, which I also... Like, that might be my third favorite TV show.
I've forgotten about that because it's been so long since I've watched it, but I used to love that TV show.
Sanford is the best. It's so good.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I watched the Jeffersons first and thought, oh, the Jeffersons are kind of fun. Right? George Jefferson's a lunatic and his wife is also equally as crazy. And then one day, I don't know what happened, I saw Sanford and Sons and thought it was the Jeffersons because we weren't, at the time I wasn't allowed to watch the channel that Sanford and Sons was on.
Oh, okay.
And I saw it and went, oh, this is like the Jeffersons, but funny. And ever since then, I was completely on board. So Red Fox, rest in peace, and you are my number five.
I think he died from a heart attack, right?
He died
I think he died from a heart attack. And I know this is probably really mean.
It is, I already know what you're doing.
In my head, I just think of him as Sanford.
Yeah.
Faking another heart attack.
Yep.
And everybody's like, really, Red. Stop it.
So question.
You can only imagine, yeah. You can only imagine what it actually happened.
If in the near future, Chevy Chase dies of a heart attack, are we just going to
make
community jokes?
Does he do that too in Community? I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
He faked.
They said it in the most recent episode, the greatest of faking heart attacks.
Right. Oh, okay.
He faked many, many illnesses though. It wasn't just heart attacks.
Mainly heart attacks.
So, Andrew?
Okay. My number five, and this is going to be completely random because I'm doing this on the fly. Is going to be one Mr. Alec Baldwin. Because,
more than anyone else
in 30 Rock, he was the man who always peppered in those moments in 30 Rock.
He was kind of like their anchor.
Yeah.
The Rock in 30 Rock.
Yeah. I think most of my people are going to be comedy.
Alright, so listen, guys. My list probably could be put in order. I'm not doing that.
Care?
Guess what? I'm just taking it from now.
Mm-hmm.
My number one,
mm-hmm.
most definitely is number one.
With a bullet.
With a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just starting from, you know,
Monsieur.
The fifth place.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mr. Mads Mikkelsen.
Monsieur Mads.
Mr. Hannibal Lecter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He is... This is our last year.
Mm-hmm.
Was the year of Mads. Guess what? I'm pretty sure for me this year is going to be the year of Mads too. Because guess what?
What?
That show has a second season.
What? I hear that you like Mads.
Yeah.
Is he coming in another James Bond movie?
He should.
I don't care what they need to have happen.
No, he can play a completely different character. That's no, fine.
I get.
Or
I
even
care.
Even if it's foolishness,
like
it's,
I don't
it's
care
an
what
evil
he's
twin.
Doing. I don't care how he's in there. I want him in.
That would be superb.
Didn't he come in the first one? What? All right. Number two, or number four, or whoever I'm doing this, is my boy, Michael C. Hall. Now, I had only seen him in
the... Are we talking about the guy...
Stabby one, Dexter. Right?
Oh, Michael C. Hall, okay.
I don't really think him.
I was thinking of, there's another guy that has a middle initial, and I think his last name is Hall, or either that or his last name is Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big... 80s star. He was in your favorite movie.
Vice.
No, thank you. The Breakfast Club. And he always played that nerdy nerd.
Oh, okay.
And he grew up to actually be in, like, I think it's...
Anthony Michael Hall.
Thank you.
Oh.
And he grew up to be in TV shows, and he's in, you know, whatever.
Right.
So
before, it was just Dexter, and... I enjoyed the five seasons of Dexter that I watched.
He's great in 16 Thunder, though. Have you watched him?
That
show?
Is why he's on this
oh
list.
Oh, my goodness.
Because before, if it wasn't for 6 Feet Under, I'd have just gone, well, he was good in Dexter, so
mm-hmm.
I like him, but whatever. And he was terribly gamer.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one part I liked about him.
No, alright, fine. He was fine. Yeah, that's true. He was good
the
in Gamer.
The game was a horrible movie.
Yeah,
that movie, though, I just see as a pile of garbage. But then Andrew said, Damien, you should watch 6 Feet Under. And I went, alright, fine. And I did. And he's incredibly in it. And so, Michael C. Hall makes the list because he's in two TV shows that I love. A lot.
So...
I mean, except for, like, the last couple of seasons of Dexter, because I saw what was happening. And I avoided all of that.
So my number four...
That's a good thing.
Yes.
You guys saw the end of Dexter, right?
No, I didn't.
I did.
Did you hear how that...
I watched it.
I heard that people were in, like, revolt. They couldn't believe the amount of nonsense that took place.
Wow. I think I am two or three episodes behind. And when I say behind, because I do intend to actually watch them.
Yeah, okay.
But behind doesn't even describe it, because didn't that show finish, like, at least half a year ago?
More than that.
Yeah.
So
we're going to have
podcasts.
My number four... is someone who's famous for a specific role and for doing a specific thing. I might not be the greatest of actors, but god damn it, I love this TV show and I love him in this TV show. And it's Henry Winkler in Happy
TV
Days.
Show? Happy Days, wow.
The Fonz. Come on. I used to watch that show.
I guess, yeah.
Like, crazily.
I never got that show, I have to say.
It's not your fault, though, that it wasn't that funny.
Because, you know, you'd see it on the
TV
the reruns,
all the time.
But
and you go, oh, I remember people talking about the Fonz. This is supposed to be good. And then you watch it. And you go, like, who's the boss is better than this? And who's the boss isn't that good? What is happening?
But you do know who
question.
The boss is,
right? Community did answer
that question. I love how both of them... I'm so upset that I still haven't watched this week's episode. But
it's so good. My sister... So I wasn't watching any of them. And my sister called and she's like, Damien, these Community people, like, what are they doing? And I went, alright, if I'm getting calls from other people, I think I might have to watch it. And this one is, the third episode is, it's
have you watched
special.
The first two?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The second one was
good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Abed.
Nick Cage.
Oh, what the hell just happened? Alright, so for my next pick.
Mm-hmm. My next magic trick.
Alright, I'm going to keep the ridiculousness to the end of the list. But for my next pick, and this is a guy I think that, you know, deserves so much more than he gets. Idris Elba has been Stringer Bell. He has been John Luthor.
God damn right he has.
And he just... if you
and
really,
he was in Thor.
Right. So it was Stringer Bell and John Luthor.
Right. And you know, the thing is, right? So
if you think about it, how many really good things and really big things has this guy been in? The Wire, and while great, mm-hmm. I don't think, well, I think it has a cult following, but,
yeah,
not,
but it wasn't,
not really big.
They didn't
same,
win anything.
Exactly. Same thing with Luther, right? Mm-hmm. Great, but, you know, just the three of us watch mm-hmm. that show. And he has been in a bunch of horrible movies,
mm-hmm.
except for things like Pacific Rim, which are fantastic
yeah.
for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
You know?
I love those moments when people come up to me and they're like, Andrew, have you been watching Luther? I just discovered
you. What? Never heard of it. Sounds like garbage.
I hate
those. There a girl named Alice in there?
I hate those moments where... I remember I spoke to somebody recently and they're like, I started watching Luther the other day. The first episode was great, but that Alice, I don't like her. I hated those episodes. And
First of all, she was in the first episode. But second and more importantly, don't speak to me again.
Exactly. But no, Idris Elba, he just deserves so much more. He needs to be in great movies, more great television shows,
you know.
Especially because he has none left. Luther is now finished, except for the potential movie along the lines of, say, any other show that
I
has
think you're being very greedy.
Very greedy?
If we think about TV actors in movie roles, then if each episode is a movie or a half of a movie,
mm-hmm.
then it's been in more great TV per minute than great actors have been in movies per minute.
Right, but then we would have given him the pejorative, which is saying, but in every movie he plays the same character.
Nope.
He might do it well, but he doesn't have that diversity variety that other actors have.
No.
We do that all the fucking while.
No. If they said, Damien, what if Christian Bale was Batman in every movie?
No, you'd love it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come down to the argument of
right.
who's a better actor, you would have thrown him in a corner and picked other people.
No. I know that's what you might think. That is not what I think at all. Right? Alright, let me put it this way.
I'm just playing with you.
No. Let's think about Jason Statham for a second. Who does Jason Statham play in every movie?
Kung Fu.
He plays
rubbish.
Jason Statham. He plays the transporter guy.
Right.
When he comes in movie when he's not that, the first thing you say to yourself is,
holy shit, where did Jason Statham go?
Yeah, why is he not Jason Statham in this movie? Even movies that he did before doing the transporter, like,
well, no.
Lockstar. When you look at it, no, you're like,
okay, actually, that's the first thing I saw him in.
Me too.
And then
I watched Snatch first, so yes. But the first time I saw him was even before Snatch. But I didn't know I saw him. Because I watched The One, the Jet Li movie.
Yeah.
And he is actually in
that
movie.
But yeah, but what happens is, when you see that movie,
mm-hmm.
like I did, I saw, like, the first time I noticed him
mm-hmm.
was Snatch Lock Stock,
right?
And then forward, he does all this kung fu
right.
action stuff.
Yeah.
It becomes a moment where you're like, I'm just going to stop thinking of him as a real actor.
Right.
Yep.
And think of him as a doll that
as
they put
kung
in
fu
the,
man.
Right.
They put in the middle of this movie and he's hitting people.
Did you know that
he came in the bank job? You just watched the entire movie.
Professional diver?
Yeah.
Like Olympics? Level
I learn all this
that's
shit because
weird.
I listen to podcasts
yeah.
and,
yeah.
and
yeah.
when Neville Dean Taylor talks about Crank they're
yeah.
like we realized we could just he was ready to be asked to be done do anything. He'd come in the day and be like, what are we doing today? I want you to jump over this barrier and then run 5 million miles for in around 20 seconds. He's like, sure. And then he used to do it around 30 times. Yeah, no problem. I need you to say the most British racist thing in the world. Sure, that's fine.
Just
and that's why the crack movies are spectacular.
Become
full
nonsense.
Yeah, so I'll do that.
I still think my thing stands. I think you're being greedy.
But guess what? You still want more Batman, don't you?
Oh, goddamn.
So guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the same fucking boat, my
new
friend.
Batman. New Batman. It won't be old Batman. It's my turn, is it?
No. Yes, it is.
No. Who just spoke last?
I did,
mm-hmm.
which means it's Damien,
no,
followed
it's,
by Andrew,
no,
followed by me.
Oh, yeah, it is my turn.
Yes.
You're a bad person. you've fallen off, Andrew. 2014 started it.
Fuck, I'm not doing this.
Now for my favorite female actress, and it is because she has been in the same role since the dawn of time, and I love her in it. Now you two don't like this TV show, because you're all terrible people.
Oh no.
And you're going
no.
to hell for it.
No.
If but you dare say
no.
her name.
Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, okay. Right.
Who do you think it was?
I thought you were going to say Kat Dennings.
Me
no,
too.
Please.
That's exactly what yeah, guys, I was. Guys, no. Let's be serious. Mariska Hargitay has been in Law & Order SCU for all time, I think. And yes, you two hate it. You terrible, terrible people.
Goddamn alphabet soup.
SVU, SUV, colon, colon.
SVU, CSI.
Colon, colon. yeah, so Mariska Hargitay, I love her. She's terrific in the show. She plays the female cop. Why am I even saying this? You two might not know. The rest of the world watches. You two might be the only two
probably.
Who don't know her.
Probably.
So yeah.
I think
she's number three.
Law & Order, in my mind, is written the same way that Family Guy is. They have a dartboard with crimes and characters for the week.
And it does.
And it is.
And just have iced tea and racist shit. That's fine.
You're all dirtbags.
I love how those shows... you know, it's one thing to have a formula to say, you know, the formula of the
mm-hmm.
TV show is... they solve crimes
mm-hmm.
and whatever. It's another thing to have the formula for creating the show
mm-hmm.
to be please add one out of work rapper.
Yeah. Cool J's on one now. Wait, what?
I'd almost be willing to watch LL Cool J one to see if he makes jokes about his songs. They should have people, characters in the shows that keep saying,
remember who the other person
is.
Remember who the other person
in
that
Andrew.
Is.
Come on.
Is in that
it's Chris O'Donnell, eh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If it was him with good actors out of God, I should give this a shot. But you cannot put two people with zero ability.
I only knew LL Cool J. I didn't know anyone else was in the show.
Chris O'Donnell.
Anyways,
it's
Robin.
My number
yeah,
three.
I know he is.
Is a recent addition to the pool of TV actors, but I have to say that I'm smitten with this show, and I'm smitten particularly with her in this show, mainly because I think she has the hardest job out of all of the characters in this show.
Being a mom,
of being the one who has to stay that same kind of comedy. Every time, every week in the show, but it becomes funnier in every situation. And this comes from Stephanie Beatrice, who plays Rosa in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
What?
Is this dude serious?
Well, I really do like that show.
Is this dude serious?
Is this dude serious?
Yeah. Remember what I told you on the start of this
are you
list?
Serious?
Remember what I told you on the start of this
Yeah,
list?
But you didn't say you were going to populate it with horseshit.
Andrew, I just want to let you know, I created my list while I was downstairs watching you play XCOM in about 2 minutes, and I have some serious, like, fun and joke aside, I have some serious firepower on this list. And
yeah, there's like real shit on my
and
list.
If you took them from me, I could get some serious firepower.
Yeah.
I get like
you've taken two from me,
yeah,
and I've replaced them. Right? Like the Mariska Hargitay one is the one that I didn't expect any of you guys to get because, of course, you don't watch the show.
Yeah,
but everybody else, hey, but everybody else on my list is terrific. Okay.
Anyway,
anyway,
I'm going to actually start. So. I gave you kind of like my, you know, top stars, the top ballers.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I want to actually get into the meat of it. So kind of like your, I don't even know what that was, Tenzing Norgay, a while ago. So.
Oh, it's a bit hard to remember.
Oh, my goodness. That's a real thing, though. It didn't have to be from that movie, but yes, that's why I know his name.
You're Can I say George Clooney from ER?
Sure, yes, you could if you wanted to.
You'd have to watch ER, though.
Exactly. So, there is this guy from Ireland.
Do TV movies count? Dog, only if they're
were
from
they
England.
On TV? It was a, this is a TV actors.
Right.
So simple.
Yep.
How have you got this so bad?
Anyway. Guy from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Robert Sheehan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because a lot of the people that are on my list
mm-hmm.
are on there because over a long space of time, they have earned my respect through whether it be lots of movies plus some TV or just straight up killing it in TV, right? But this guy, it was almost immediate. I watched a TV show that is still going on apparently, but has run down very poorly. That he, you know, jumped off really quickly from, called Misfits. I know I've probably shot this to you before, Andrew. No,
never watched it.
Have you ever watched it, Damian? Yeah. No. Misfits. The first couple of seasons. I mean, it was always goofy, but it was fun to watch. And Robert Sheehan was probably the biggest reason why I watched that show. Why? Because I considered him to be probably the most likely candidate for Bernard Black's son. Just from the way that he acted in that show and his character and the thing, just the foolishness that he did in that show. And it was just hilarious to watch. And he had this charisma that just worked with that role. And it was just off the rails. And when he left, I cried myself to sleep. And then... and the funny thing is, you know, if it was just that alone, I probably wouldn't put him on the list. But then I thought about it and I'm like, listen, how many movies or TV things that you would never have watched have you watched simply because this guy's in it? And the answer is too many. I have watched Cherry Bomb, which actually I liked because of him. He was in it, him along with Rupert Grint. I have watched...
Have you seen Killing Bomb?
Yes, I have seen Killing Bono, which I also did not mind, probably only because he was in it.
He's in something. I'm fairly certain you're not going to watch
I have that. Also watched his latest TV show. No, I did not watch that. I saw that he was in it and I was like, shit. But
now
I even watched...
it over, I finally deleted it off the DVR.
Yeah.
Because the joke isn't funny anymore.
I even watched his latest Fling with TV, or really it's not latest because I think it's gone 4 years now, and it's British 4 years, which means it probably started as soon as he left Misfits, called Love Hate. And I for the longest while, it was like I was on a mission, I was on a hunt
mm-hmm.
for this TV show and couldn't find it. And just one day, by sheer accident, because I had looked on Netflix before,
mm-hmm.
I found a website that kind of...
And I told you about our website.
Oh, yes, that's right. You told me, Andrew told me about a website that just
yeah,
gave
shit.
You all of the releases by, you know, date or whatever. And I was scrolling through. And on there was something called Love Hate. And I said, no, this couldn't be, because I remember looking and immediately, I think I watched the first...
You do know they add things on TV.
Yeah,
things
I know.
Right?
What?
But immediately I watched the first two or three seasons. Well, not quite so far. I think I'm halfway through the third season now.
Can you go over this?
And as much as I kind of think it's not as great as I want it to be, I'm pretty sure in a very short time I will be finished with that show. Because guess what? Robert Sheehan is in it. And yeah.
Fair enough. This is a guy that will live in my mind, in your mind, in everybody's mind as one character. To the point now where when you see him in trailers, you forget. I don't even think people know his actual name.
Will Shatner?
That's right. His name is Michael K. William.
Omar.
Omar. Okay.
That is his name. And he is
everybody
coming.
Gotta live back.
Omar is
I
coming.
Stop.
And like when I see him in other things, I just want them to call him Omar. Like,
do you complain when they call him Chalky White in Boardwalk?
I do. I really do. I just want... I know they can't. Because it doesn't make sense, but I'm willing to accept that. Just have him be called Omar something, even if
and whistle
just and... no, just have him play the different characters, but just call him Omar and everything. Just for me and for everyone that saw The Wire, like, we will get it and we'll chuckle and we'll forgive the movie for whatever. Just let him be. Even Community, couldn't they just have called him?
Well, they made a lot of Community. They made a lot of Wire jokes.
But they should have just called him Professor something Omar. So it just have been Professor Omar.
So I will continue in the world of comedy with one of, I think, my favorite shows. Because honestly, if I had to pick one TV show that I've watched the most, as in, like, I can count, I think I've seen the seasons, all of the episodes that's ever been released, like, at least 10 times each. And I keep loving this show. And it has to be Ken Marino from Party Down. Because, like, I don't know if you guys have watched that TV show. Have you guys seen Party Down? I know Douglas has seen a few episodes.
I've seen a few of them, but...
not enough.
But that's not why I would pick that guy.
I adore that TV show. And, I mean, it's between him and Adam Scott, really, in that show. But Ken Marino is downright
you
brilliant.
You pick him for Children's Hospital,
nope.
Wouldn't
you?
Nope.
You pick him for Stella.
Nope.
No?
He's not in Stella.
There's Veronica Mars.
Nope.
No? Alright, I don't know.
I would pick him because...
Wet Hot American Summer?
Nope.
Hank Moody? The Hank
Moody
nope. moment?
Because he will always ask the question. Or was it a question? It's been so long since I've watched it. Can
I
put my balls in it? And that is from MTV's The State.
That's why I was thinking The State when I said Stella. I was mixing.
Oh,
names.
Okay, yeah. But Stella is an actual comedy with the Michaels. Yeah.
But yeah, I seriously look. There's only one TV show I think I put more hours into watching, but that's because there's a lot more of it, and that will be mentioned in the next one.
Doctor
but
Who.
Ken Marino. Ken Marino is fantastic.
Yes.
And anyone who hasn't watched Party Down, get to it now. That show is brilliant.
No! Okay. So, my next person is, guess what, from the UK.
What? He's not from France.
Can I see your list? Can I do a tally now?
Oh, you, oh, Andrew. It's resoundingly UK-based. So... this guy is actually, I don't think he's probably big in the UK, right?
Where you get your TV from.
Where I get all of my TV from.
I'm big in the UK.
And I don't even know if he is, I just know that because he's in a few other shows that I've watched and I've really come to love him. He's this great character actor by the name of Phil Davis or Philip Davis. And he is in, I remember the first time I saw him, where was it? I think it may have been Silk, where he played this kind of dodgy, not quite lawyer, but I don't know what they're called, whether it's clerk or whatever.
They're policemen, because it's a British show and it's gritty.
No. Silk is actually, it's about law-based things, but it's not policemen, it's all lawyers. Right, and the people that work for them, and yeah, that guy, and he's just fantastic in any role that you put him in. He is also in a TV show that I've gotten really into, and that's, it's kind of like, you know, X-Files UK, which is, well, not exactly, but it's called Whitechapel, and yeah, I know it's not. I don't know why I like it so much.
Damon.
Because I watch it.
British accents.
I watch
don't
it.
Know why you...
And
it's
I kind of
good.
I kind of look at it and I'm like, I see all of these things that I don't like in normal shows.
Remember in Pimpin' It Was?
But,
I never watched it.
It's no, it's
I
not.
I don't
that
trust
great.
His judgment
it's,
when he
it's
says
not
British.
It's not that great. But
just like how I assure you, I'm sure when I say Japanese, you don't trust my judgment.
Because most of the time it's anime. So you're a child.
Oh,
he's also
goodness.
In Merlin.
Hmm? Well, I've never watched Merlin.
God damn right, yeah.
He's also in Sherlock.
Yeah,
we have
true.
All watched that show before.
That is true, but
that show
not,
is awesome.
Not for him.
He's also in another show I've seen a bit of, which is called Collision. And that
I don't know if I'm as enamored with that show as I am with many other shows, but you know, I just think that it's, and the thing about it is it shows that it's not the content for me with this guy. It's him. It's just how great a character actor that he is, and you know, anything that I see him in now, I will try and hunt down and watch it.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of things. So
yeah, he does.
You need to get to work.
And I have actually
He's
tracked down.
With the
yeah,
Casanova. You can watch that.
I know, right? I've tracked down The Town, which I'm yet to watch, but I've got it, and I'm.
There was also Cassandra's Dream. I've seen it. Casanova, because I have sisters, and they're both terrible. All right, now for Da One. And Da Da One. It is a toss-up between two actors. One is more recent, and one is from far, far away, a long, long ago. I don't know which one to pick, though.
Just don't pick mine.
Okay. Long ago or for the right now? For the right now? Fine. Bryan Cranston.
Okay, good. Not mine.
Because, of course, he's Walter White.
Oh, I thought it was for... The child show. I can't even remember
I
the
love
name
that
now.
Show.
Why is it Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah, man.
In the middle.
Yep.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle. Say it like 19 times. Of course, that's why Andrew Robinson. That is why I picked him. My favorite show of all time.
So
Malcolm in the Middle.
I know most of you guys know this.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite TV shows of all time. Like,
oh, he's in that Casanova. I love that Casanova.
Didn't we just
I
say
do.
It was in Casanova?
Well, no, but there are like 50 million Casanova things.
Okay.
Sorry, anyway.
My favorite TV show, like, I keep watching it. Like, and the only reason why I haven't seen it each episode as many times as, like, a Party Down is while Party Down has 2 seasons, this show actually has 9. It takes me a while to push through them. But there was a period of time where I literally would get up every morning before work and I would watch an episode of this show. Like, just continuously. And it is... And I think, like all the other actors on my list, I always have to pick actors who aren't necessarily the leads of the shows, but become staples of the comedy, where you're looking forward to the one or two moments he has every episode where he just pops up and just kills it. And it's Neil Flynn from Scrubs, who played the janitor.
No, oh, okay.
Because, I mean, who watched that show...
Not Dr. Potts.
Why wouldn't it be Dr. Cox?
The janitor was my favorite.
Oh,
all the
possible?
While.
Dr. Cox is the best. He's the best part of Scrubs. Hands down.
Dr. Janitor.
No.
No, Zach Braff?
No. What are you talking
what about?
No, I love Zach Braff. He's off making his Kickstarter movie, which is going to come out this year.
Clearly, he's been making it for like 10 years because when was the last big movie he was in?
The last big movie he was in,
except for Oz. Except for Oz.
You mean that movie that made like 500 million?
Oh yeah,
I forgot about that movie.
He was that racist monkey thing. It's fucking terrible.
So yeah, Neil Flynn in Scrubs.
Okay, so my
number one. He was in The Last Kiss.
Yeah,
and The X.
The Last Kiss was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and The X. Yeah.
He's been in a few things.
And Oz the Great and Powerful.
Exactly. So my number one with a bullet, probably not my real number one, but
yeah,
still I think deserving of that title, is none other than the great, the Tump loved
real
Chiwetel Ejiofor,
mm-hmm,
who has starred in a bunch of TV shows, one which I'm not a big fan of. By the name of Dancing on the Edge, but why?
Douglas Warren, man, I still went in there.
Oh my god,
I still went in there.
I think I'm still at
Shadow
the third episode. I don't think I'm back. But guess what, guys? That's what I love him for. Have you watched that?
Shadow Law.
And it's called The Shadow Line. But have you guys watched
Shadow
it?
Shadow Law.
Nope.
You guys need to watch it. It's just insane. It's amazing.
It's called Shadow Law.
It's called The Shadow Line. The line with the shadows.
I cannot bring myself to watch anything that will constantly remind me of that Street Fighter movie.
But hold on. You do realize, right,
mm-hmm,
that you were willing to watch a show no, I told you was bad.
Yeah.
Because of Chewie. And yet you're not willing to watch a good show?
I
don't understand this.
I've just been putting it off forever.
For like years. How long ago did I watch this? This was a 2011 show, you know? Yeah. I don't know if I watched it as soon as it came out, but I watched it at least 2 years
You've
ago.
You've told us many times. And I have it. I just don't watch it for no real reason.
Yeah. But Chewie is fantastic. In his movies, in his TV shows.
I'm busy watching Party Down again.
Oh yeah.
Busy watching that stupid dancing one. Douglas Moore and me. Douglas that Damon.
Dancing on the edge. I thought you were talking about a TV show where they actually dance. I'm like, which one?
Well, I guess they do dance in that show.
Dancing on the edge.
Oh, okay.
But it is.
I wanted to put Mindy Kaling in this list. Show.
Yeah, but my real number one was John Goodman. Because let's be serious, guys. John Goodman.
From Roseanne.
Yeah.
You like Roseanne?
I want to grow up and be. I like him and Roseanne in Roseanne.
Okay. I didn't know you were a Roseanne fan.
We used to watch that when it was actually on.
I've never seen the end though, so that's probably why I still like Roseanne.
Did I see? I probably saw the last episode.
And
it's been so long
shit.
Though, so. Yeah.
What the f- and expletives and no one cared about Roseanne after that. But yeah.
Oh, do you know that well, it's funny, what's her face from Scrubs was on that show as Becky. She was the second Becky, and that's why apparently they called her second Becky when she was on the show. That was her nickname.
Fair enough.
And you know what's interesting, I don't know why this came to my head, but I was watching Christmas Vacation recently, my annual watch,
yes.
And I realized something. The son is Leonard from The Big Bang Theory.
Well, since I'm never watching Big Bang Theory, no idea what you're talking about.
I didn't put Dennis Farina on my list for his Buddy Farrell show.
He was in a couple of shows. Yeah,
he's been in a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
But really, the only one I know him for is Buddy
Farrell. No, that's not
true. How come no one said Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, I watched one episode and said, fuck that
show. I know, but that's a TV show.
I mean,
that's true. Benedict Cumberbatch should have been...
Recently, I've been thinking about whether I'm willing to go through that show, knowing I would only have to commit a season since it's done.
Mm-hmm.
They cancel it and it's gone. Where I'd be like, all right, let me just power through it and say the show is really bad. And yeah,
I am fire.
So I want to call an honorable mention because this honorable mention is funny to me. The only reason this honorable mention wasn't in my list was because during calling out the list, my mind said, hold on, there's Phil Davis, you need to put him on there. And so Phil Davis actually bumped out Hugh Dancy. So my list would have been essentially
the cast of Hannibal.
Yeah.
And then eventually you'd have gotten down to Lawrence Fishburne.
Actually, no, I wouldn't. But to be fair, Hugh Dancy... Exactly. No, he was. Lawrence Fishburne. But to be fair, Hugh Dancy has been in a bunch of other stuff. And he went square on my radar when he was in Adam. That was perfect. But another TV show that... Though, you know, I think it's arguable that it's not that great a TV show. And I watched it for the first two seasons and didn't see the last one. He was great as the guy with cancer in The Big C.
Oh, okay.
You remember that? Did you watch the show? I didn't know it was him.
Yeah, that was him. I watched all of that show.
But then he just kept feeling like another Showtime show.
Yeah.
Like, I got to that point at the end of season three and I stopped, I gave up. And then, like, a year later, I looked it up and found out that they ended the show in season four with, like, four episodes. And I was like, you know what? If it's four episodes, I'll finish it. And I finished it. And I was like, all right. At least I did.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's not that I tell people to go watch.
Yeah.
I was thinking about putting on Allison Hannigan because I love her in How I Met Your Mother and I love her in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Boo!
But
Boo to Buffy.
No. Yeah, could I have picked Marc Maron for playing himself in Maron?
Yeah, you could have.
Sure.
Or Louis C.K.
Yes,
sure.
You could have. Most
have been wrong twice. But sure.
Anyways, that's our list.
You got Andrew Joe Clot his list.
First time ever.
Congratulations.
I I feel so. It feels so special.
You're a bad person.
I'll remember this moment forever. Anyways, thanks for listening. As always, you can hear the podcast over at gmrnreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at gmrnreviews. Damien, you're
something.
Something. Douglas is
something else.
I am DJR, that's his name.
One of something is available on Twitter. Are you
sure?
Probably not.
How's the caffeination going?
It's going. I mean, I don't think anybody reads it, but that's fine. I will continue to put things on there. It will hopefully be an enjoyable experiment. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's
not any other podcast. It's a completely different podcast. On the back of the beast in the midnight charge down a broken beach, the little stars they spin the sharpest shards of light on down to the mouth of the sea in the morning curl on the cow at the edge of the world, the light. Blur got you going away, floating away on the tide. Through bottom-row basements of pitfall and cave-in of crackling tapes, cross fades when the song ends. I'm going away, I'm floating away on the tide. Down the bloody beach with the burnt-out cars, saw lit by the sea, there were slicked out stars on.